Hello and welcome to Speak the Words, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mango.
This is a podcast where we are slowly but surely working our way through the story of the Stormlight Archive, currently on Words of Radiance. Before we get into the show stuff, I just want to remind you guys that we're on Twitter, at SpeakStormlight. We also have a Discord server. The link to join that is in the episode description. I really want to overhaul the Discord server. I've got a bunch of changes that I want to make, but I need Discord to give me the ability to make forum channels first, because that's a thing that's still in beta. But once they roll it out to all servers, man, it's going to make handling spoiler discussions so much easier. Last week, we had a short episode. Do you remember what happened last week?
Shallan met with the dude again.
Yeah, Marais.
And he found out that she killed Tin.
Mm-hmm.
Or figured it out. And she was like, yes, but I can be useful to you. And he's like, okay. Kaladin, Shallan, and Adolin all met Wit again.
Yeah. It's you! Me! I love it. They do it three times. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then he unceremoniously disappears.
Mm-hmm. We ended on a pretty big reveal.
Oh, yeah. they all went to... Was it a zoo? They went to a zoo. And there were already people there. And Dalinar was like, hey, we are officially reinstating the Radiance. Amaram is the one who is in charge. And obviously Kaladin's like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
Don't like that. That was pretty much it. Really, the only other thing that happened was that Adolin beat the shit out of Elit in a duel. And Elit's cousin Relis was like, hey, asshole, you and me, fucking let's go, actually, at first he was like, I'm not gonna fight you. And then Elin was like, dude, I'll take on you, whoever you want to bring, I'll fight you, dude. And Relis was like, all right, fine, we'll do that, and I'll fight you in 2 days. And that is where we are now. This week, chapter 56, White Spine Uncaged. This chapter has Kaladin symbol. The epigraph reads, 23 cohorts followed behind that came from the contributions of the King of Makabakum. For though the bond between man and Spren was at times inexplicable, the ability for bonded Spren to manifest in our world rather than their own grew stronger through the course of the oaths given. From Words of Radiance, chapter 35, page 9. Amaram obviously doesn't have any surge binding abilities, Sigzil said softly. Kaladin and Sigzil arrive at the dueling arena. With the entire Kolin household in attendance, Kaladin brings every guard that he can. Can we be certain? Kaladin asked. I haven't shown anyone my powers. There have to be others training as I am. Storms. Sill all but promised me there were. He'd have displayed the abilities if he had them, Sigzil said. Sigzil was probably right. But Amaram? Kaladin felt his neck growing hot, and for a moment it seemed the only thing he could see was Amaram. Golden cloak. Haughty face. Bloodstained. That man was bloodstained. Kaladin told Dalinar about it. Dalinar wouldn't do anything. Someone else would have to. Kaladin? Sigzil asked. Kaladin realized he'd stepped toward Amaram, hands clenched on his spear. He took a deep breath, then refocused and told Sigzil where to put their guards. Tell the men to keep focus, Sig. This is likely to be a dramatic fight. I want their minds on the possibility of assassins, not on the duel. Is he really going to fight two men at once? Yeah. Can he possibly win that? I don't know, and I don't really care. Our job is to watch for other threats. Sigzil nodded and moved to leave. He hesitated, however, taking Kaladin by the arm. You could join them, Cal, he said softly. If the King's refounding the Knights Radiant, you have an excuse to show what you are. Dalinar is trying, but so many think of the Radiance as an evil force, forgetting the good they did before they betrayed mankind. But if you showed your powers, it could change minds. Join? Under Amaram? Not likely. Kaladin dismisses Sigzil. Amaram is ruining you, Kaladin, Sill whispered. Don't let him. He gritted his teeth and didn't reply. Instead, he moved up beside Moash. I'll get you out of this, Moash, Kaladin thought. We'll fix this. Moash, Kaladin said. Starting tomorrow, I'm putting you on patrol duty. Moash frowned. I thought you always wanted me guarding. His expression grew hard. This is about what happened, in the tavern. I want you to take a deep patrol, Kaladin said. Head out toward New Natanon. I don't want you here when we move against Graves and his people. I'm not leaving. You will, and it's not subject to what they're doing is right, Cal. Kaladin frowned. Have you still been meeting with them? Moash looked away. only once, to assure them that you'd come around. You still disobeyed an order. Storm it, Moash. The noise inside the arena was building. Almost time for the match, Moash said. We can talk about this later. Should have grabbed him this morning, Kaladin thought. No, what I should have done was make a decision on this days ago. It was his own fault. You will go on that patrol, Moash, he said. You don't get to be insubordinate just because you're my friend. Go on. The man jogged ahead, collecting his squad. And we cut to Adolin's POV. Adolin knelt beside his sword. He looked at his reflection in the blade. Two shardbearers at once. It comes down to this, Adolin said. Let's go be spectacular. Then, let's wipe that smile off Sadeus's face. He stood up, dismissing his blade. He left the small preparation room. In the room beyond, Renarin sat waiting anxiously. Aunt Navani was screwing the lid off a jar of paint to do a glyph ward. No need, Adolin said, taking one from his pocket. The girl? Yeah, Adolin said. The calligraphy isn't bad, Navani said. She's quite wonderful, Aunt. I wish you'd give her more of a chance, and she does want to share her scholarship with you. We'll see, Navani said. Adolin placed the glyph ward in the brazier, then bowed his head as it burned. I'm worried, Navani said. Father thinks the plan could work, and Elokar really likes it. Elokar can be impulsive, Navani said. The terms change things. The terms indicated that this duel would go until surrender, not until a certain number of plate sections were broken. That meant if Adolin did manage to beat one of his foes, making the man give in, the other could keep fighting. It also meant that Adolin didn't have to stop fighting until he was convinced he was bested, or until he was incapacitated. Renarin walked over, resting a hand on Adolin's shoulder. I think the plan is a good one, he said. You can do this. They're going to try to break you, Navani said. That's why they insisted this be a match until the surrender. They'll leave you crippled if they can, Adolin. No different from the battlefield, he said. Actually, in this case, they will want to leave me alive. I'll work better as an object lesson with blade-dead legs than I would as ashes. Navani closed her eyes, drawing in a breath. She looked pale. It was a little like having his mother back. A little. Make sure you don't give Sadeus any outs, Renarin said to him. When you corner him with a challenge, he will look for a way to escape. Don't let him. Bring him down on those sands and beat him bloody, brother. With pleasure. Now, you ate chicken? Renarin asked. Two plates of the stuff, with curry. Mother's chain? Adolin felt in his pocket. Then he felt in his other one. What? Renarin asked. I could have sworn I slipped it in. Renarin cursed. Might be back in my rooms, Adolin said. In the war camps, on my end table. It was just a good luck charm. It didn't mean anything. He started sweating anyway as Renarin scrambled to send a runner off to search. They wouldn't get back in time. He nodded to the servants, and they pushed open the doors, letting him stride out onto the sand. He strode out into the center of the arena. Take Relis first, Adolin told himself. You know his dueling style. Adolin wasn't sure whom he'd bring along to fight with him, though he'd borrowed a full set of the King's Blade and plate. Perhaps his cousin wanted to try again. Shallan was there on the opposite side of the arena. Adolin raised a fist to her, and she waved back. He could win, even without Mother's Chain. The problem was he intended to challenge Sadeus after this, so he had to retain enough strength for that duel. Was Sadeus there? Yes. He sat only a little ways from Father and the King. That steadied him. He'd stewed long about that betrayal. It was time, finally, to do something. The doors across from him opened. Four men in shard plate strode out.
Four?
We cut to Kaladin's POV. Four, Dalinar said, leaping to his feet. Yes, those were all shardbearers. One wore a set of the king's plate, the other three wore their own. Down below, the high judge for the bout turned and cocked her head toward the king. What is this? Dalinar bellowed toward Sadeus. Sadeus turned about lazily. Why do you ask me? None of those men are mine. I'm just an observer today. Oh, don't be tiresome, Sadeus, Elokar called. You know full well what is happening. Why are there four? Is Adolin supposed to pick the two he wants to duel? Two? Sadeus asked. When was it said that he would fight two? That's what he said when he set up the duel, Dalinar shouted. Pair disadvantaged duel. Two against one, as per the dueling conventions. Actually, Sadeus replied, that is not what young Adolin agreed to. Why, I have it on very good authority that he told Prince Relis, I'll fight you and whomever you bring. I don't hear a specification of a number in there, which subjects Adolin to a full disadvantaged duel, not a paired duel. Relis may bring as many as he wishes. I know several scribes who recorded Adolin's precise words, and I hear the High Judge asked him specifically if he understood what he was doing, and he said that he did. Dalinar growled softly. It was a sound Kaladin had never heard from him, the growl of a beast on a chain. He outthought us, Dalinar said to the king. Again. We'll need to retreat and consider our next move. Someone tell Adolin to pull out of the contest. Are you certain? The king said. Pulling out would require that Adolin forfeit, uncle. That's six shards, everything you own. Kaladin could read the conflict in Dalinar's features. Give up? Without a fight? Was probably the right thing to do. Kaladin doubted he could have done it. Below, after an extended pause, Adolin raised his hand in a sign of agreement. The judge began the duel.
Oh, boy.
Adolin jogged backward across the arena. He'd need to put his back to the wall to avoid being completely surrounded. That meant he'd start the duel with no place to retreat. Cornered. Why hadn't he been more specific? Doing so would have been smart, and Adolin was a storming idiot. He recognized Relis. The man in King's Plate would indeed be Elit. He carried an enormous hammer rather than a blade. The two moved across the field, and their two companions took their flanks. One in orange, the other in green. Adolin recognized them. That one would be Abrabadar, a full shardbearer from Aladar's camp, and Yakimov, bearing the king's blade that Relis had borrowed. Yakimov, Adolin's friend. Blade forming in his hand, Adolin backed into the shade of the wall. Just above him, dark eyes roared on their benches. Whether they were thrilled or horrified by what he faced, Adolin could not tell. He'd come here intending to give a spectacular show. They'd get the opposite instead. A quick slaughter. Well, he'd made this pyre himself. If he was going to burn on it, he'd at least put up a fight first. Relis and Elit prowled closer as their allies worked around the sides. One at a time, lad! One shout from the stand seemed to separate from the others. Was that Zahel's voice? You're not cornered! Relis stepped forward in a quick motion, testing Adolin. Adolin danced away in wind stance. Of course he was cornered. It was the only way to face four. And how could he possibly face them one at a time? They'd never allow that. Relis tested forward again, making Adolin shuffle sideways. He had to turn somewhat to face Relis, however, and that put Abrabadar in his blind spot. They're scared of you, Zahel's voice. Do you see it in them? Show them why. Adolin hesitated. Relis stepped forward, making a stone stance strike. Elit came in next, hammer held wardingly. They backed Adolin along the wall toward Abrabadar. No, Adolin had demanded this duel. He had wanted it. He would not become a frightened rat. Show them why. Adolin attacked. He leaped forward, sweeping with a barrage of strikes at Relis. Elit jumped away with a curse as he did so. They were like men with spears prodding at a white spine. And this white spine was not yet caged. Adolin shouted, beating against Relis. As Elit recovered, Adolin spun on him and struck, leaving Relis dazed from the attack. His assault forced Elit to hold his hammer back and block with his forearm. This was what Zahel meant. Attack with fury. Don't allow them time to respond. Four men. If he could intimidate them into hesitating... Adolin stopped thinking. He let the flow of the fight consume him. Elit pulled away, leaking stormlight from his left shoulder and forearm. Adolin turned and smashed his shoulder into Relis. His shove threw the black-plated man tumbling to the ground. Then, with a shout, Adolin turned and met Abrabadar head-on as the man came dashing up to help. Adolin fell into stone stance himself, smashing his blade down again and again against Abrobadar's raised sword. Elit approached, wary, as Relis scrambled up to his feet. Adolin fell back into wind stance and swept about himself. Elit jumped away, and Abrabadar stumbled back, gauntlet in hand, against the wall of the arena. Adolin turned back toward Relis. Adolin got in a second strike at the champion's breastplate. Adolin was yet untouched. Adolin was forced to turn on Abrabadar before he wanted to, and the man was now braced for the fury of the assault. Sword raised defensively. Adolin's barrage didn't stun him this time. The man weathered it while Elit and Relis got into position. Something crashed into Adolin from behind. Yakimov. Adolin had taken too long and had allowed the fourth man to get into position. Adolin spun about. He raised his sword into Yakimov's next attack, but that opened his left flank. Elit swung, hammer crashing into Adolin's side. His plate cracked. He swept around himself, growing desperate. This time, his foes didn't back away. Instead, Yakimov charged in. Even though the move let Adolin slam his sword down and hit the man on the back, it threw Adolin completely out of his stance. Adolin stumbled backward, barely keeping from being thrown to the ground as Yakimov crashed into him. Adolin shoved the man aside, somehow keeping hold of his shard blade, but the other three moved in. Blows rained on his shoulders, helm, breastplate. Adolin's head rang from a blow. He'd almost done it. He let himself grin as they beat on him. Four at once, and he'd almost done it. "I yield," he said, voice muffled by his helm. They continued attacking. He said it louder. Nobody listened. He raised his hand to signal to the judge to stop the proceedings, but someone slammed his arm downward. No, Adolin thought, swinging about himself in a panic. The judge could not end the fight. We cut to Dalinar's POV.
Uh-oh.
That's it, Dalinar said. The rules allow Adolin to have help, so long as his side is disadvantaged. One less than Relis's team. Elokar, I'll need your shard blade. No, Elokar said. The king sat with folded arms. Those around him watched the duel. No, the beating, in silence. Elokar, that's my son. You're without plate. If you take the time to put some on, you'll be too late. If you go down, you won't save Adolin. You'll simply lose my blade as well as all the others. Dalinar clenched his teeth. There was a drop of wisdom in that, and he knew it. Adolin was finished. They needed to end the match now and not put more on the line. You could help him, you know. Sadius's voice. Dalinar spun toward the man. The dueling conventions don't forbid it. I checked to make sure. Young Adolin can be helped by up to two people. The Blackthorn I once knew would have been down there already, fighting with a rock if he had to. I guess you're not that man anymore. Dalinar sucked in a breath, then stood. Elokar, I'll pay the fee and borrow your blade by right of the tradition of the King's Blade. You won't risk it that way. I'm going to fight. Elokar caught him by the arm. Don't be a fool, uncle. Listen to him. Do you see what he's doing? He obviously wants you to go down and fight. Dalinar turned to meet the king's eyes. Uncle, listen to me for once. Be a little paranoid. Why would Sadius want you down there? It's so that an accident can occur. He wants you removed, Dalinar. I guarantee that if you step onto those sands, all four will attack you straight out. Shardblade or none, you'll be dead before you get into stance. Dalinar puffed in and out. Elokar was right. Dalinar had to do something, though. A murmur rose from the watching crowd. Dalinar spun to see that someone else had joined the battle. Shardblade held nervously in two hands, but wearing no plate.
No!
Renarin. No! We cut to Adolin's POV. One of the attackers moved away. Adolin threw himself in that direction, battering his way out from among the three others. He spun and backed away. His plate was starting to feel heavy. Time to end this. He felt a fool, but better a live fool than a dead one. He turned toward the High Judge to signal his surrender. She didn't listen. And Adolin in his head is like, they fucking paid her off. Adolin, Relis said, now we wouldn't want to end this prematurely, would we? What glory do you think will come of such a fight? Adolin spat back. You think people would cheer you for beating a man four against one? This isn't for honor, Relis said. It's simple punishment. Adolin snorted. Only then did he notice something on the other side of the arena. Renarin in Colin Blue holding a wobbly shard blade and facing down Abrobadar, who stood with sword on his shoulder as if completely unthreatened. Renarin, Adolin shouted. What in the storms are you doing? Go back! Abrobadar attacked and Renarin parried awkwardly. Abrobadar's blow just about knocked the weapon from Renarin's hands. Now, Relis said. Abubadar there is fond of young Renarin and doesn't want to hurt him, so he'll just keep the young man engaged, make a good fight of it. So long as you're willing to keep up what you promised and have a good duel with us, surrender like a coward, or get the king to end the bout, and Abubadar's sword might just slip. Adolin tightened his grip on his blade and looked back toward his three foes.
Bastard.
You bastards, he whispered. You're writing this book, it's crazy. Yakimov, how dare you be a part of this? Yakimov didn't reply. So, Relis said, shall we? Adolin's response was a charge. And we cut back to Dalinar's POV. It's time to end this, Istau, Dalinar said. Call the fight. Award the victory to Relis and his team. The woman kept her eyes forward, watching the duel. Did you hear me? Dalinar demanded. She said nothing. Fine, I'll end it then. I am High Prince here, Dalinar, the woman said. In this arena, my word is the only law, granted me by the authority of the king. She turned to him. Your son has not surrendered, and he is not incapacitated. The terms of the duel have not been met, and I will not end it until they have been. Have you no respect for the law? Dalinar ground his teeth together, then looked back at the arena. Renarin fought one of the men. The lad had barely any training in the sword. In fact, as Dalinar watched, Renarin's shoulder began to twitch, pulling up toward his head violently. One of his fits. Adolin fought the other three, having cast himself among them again. He fought marvelously, but could not fend off all of them. The three surrounded him and struck. The pauldron on Adolin's left shoulder exploded. That left Adolin's flesh exposed to the air and to the blades facing him. Please, almighty. Dalinar turned upon the stands full of spectating light eyes. You can watch this, he shouted at them. My sons fight alone. There are shard bearers among you. Is there not one of you who will fight with them? He scanned the crowd. The king was looking at his feet. Amaram, what of Amaram? Dalinar found him seated near the king. Dalinar met the man's eyes. Amaram looked away. No. What has happened to us? Where is our honor? Honor is dead, a voice whispered from beside him. Dalinar turned and looked at Captain Kaladin. He hadn't noticed the bridgeman walking down the steps behind him. But I'll see what I can do. If this goes poorly, take care of my men. Spear in hand, he grabbed the edge of the wall and flung himself over, dropping to the sands of the arena floor below.
Yes!
And that is the end of chapter 56.
Yes!
Chapter 57, To Kill the Wind. Kaladin symbol. The epigraph reads, Malchin was stymied, for though he was inferior to none in the arts of war, he was not suitable for the Lightweavers. He wished for his oaths to be elementary and straightforward, and yet their spren were liberal, as to our comprehension in definitions pertaining to this matter. The process included speaking truths as an approach to a threshold of self-awareness that Malchin could never attain. From Words of Radiance, Chapter 12, Page 12.
Speaking truths, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what Shallan's been doing. She is a Lightweaver.
Mm-hmm.
We start in, speaking of Shallan, her POV. Shallan stood up in her seat, watching Adolin's beating below. Four men. She should have seen that loophole. Adolin seemed about to give in, but then for some reason, he threw himself back into the fight instead. Fool man, Sabariel said. Too arrogant to see that he's beaten. No, Shallan said. There's something more. Her eyes flicked down toward poor Renarin. For the briefest instant, she considered going down to help. Sheer stupidity. She'd be even more useless than Renarin down there.
No, she wouldn't.
She's got a shard blade, but she doesn't know how to fight with it.
Oh. Yeah, I guess she just caught people off guard.
She could surprise the shit and get one of them. Like, if they didn't have any shard plate on. If somebody broke the shard plate so that she could get a clear hit in, she could surprise the shit out of somebody and kill one person.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to kill.
Well, I mean, fuck it. Who cares at this point? I'd kill him. I don't care. Pattern, she whispered. Go see if you can distract that shardbearer fighting Prince Renarin. She would not interfere with Adolin's fight, but she would try to keep Renarin from getting maimed, if she could. Pattern hummed and slipped from her skirt, moving across the stone of the arena benches. Don't get yourself killed on me, Adolin Clynn, she thought. Please. Someone else dropped to the sands. And we jump to Kaladin's POV.
Yes.
Kaladin dashed across the arena floor. Again, he thought, remembering coming to Amaram's rescue so long ago. This had better end differently than it did that time. It will, Syl promised. Trust me. Relis glanced at Kaladin as he approached, then turned back away. Kaladin smiled, then sucked in some stormlight. Nobody would see it, hopefully. He sped up, then lunged between two of the shardbearers, ramming his spear into Relis's cracked vambrace. The man let out a shout of pain, and Kaladin pulled his spear back, getting close to Adolin. The young man in blue armor quickly turned to put his back toward Kaladin. What are you doing here, bridge boy? Adolin hissed. Playing one of the 10 fools. Welcome to the party. I won't be able to get through their armor, Kaladin said. You'll need to crack it for me. Just keep one of them distracted from me, Adolin said. I can handle, too. All right. Keep an eye on my brother if you can, Adolin said. If things go sour for those three, they might decide to use him as leverage against us. Done, Adolin said, Kaladin said, then pulled away and jumped to the side as the one with the hammer tried to attack Adolin. Relis came in from the other side, swinging, as if to cut right through Kaladin and hit Adolin. He twisted around Relis, dodging the blade. The black-plated man glanced at Adolin and took a step in that direction, but Kaladin lunged as if to strike him in the arm again. Relis turned back, then reluctantly let Kaladin draw him away from the fight with Adolin. The man attacked quickly. He went more offensive, but Kaladin twisted and spun, always getting just out of the way of the attacks. Relis turned back to the fight with Adolin. Kaladin slapped him in the side of the head with the butt of his spear, and Relis turned and swept out with his blade. Kaladin pulled back a hair too slowly, and the blade sheared the pointed end off his spear. Careful, he tried to lead Relis farther away from the fight. However, when he pulled back too far, the man just turned and moved back toward Adolin. The prince fought desperately against his two opponents, swinging his blade back and forth between the men on either side of him. 2-on-1 against Adolin actually seemed an even match. Kaladin needed to keep Relis distracted. The man was striding back toward Adolin. Gritting his teeth, Kaladin charged. He crossed the sands in a quick dash, and then, right before reaching Relis, Kaladin jumped to put his feet toward the shardbearer and lashed himself that direction many times in quick succession, as many as he dared, so many that he burned through all of his stormlight. Though Kaladin fell only a short distance, he hit with the force of having fallen much farther. Pain shot up his legs like lightning striking, and he heard his bones crack. The kick flung the black-armored shardbearer forward. Relis went sprawling on his face, blade flung from his hands. It vanished to mist. Kaladin crashed to the sand. By reflex, he sucked in more light from the spheres in his pocket, letting it heal his legs. He'd broken both of them and his feet. The healing process seemed to take forever, and he forced himself to roll over and look at Relis. Incredibly, Kaladin's attack had cracked the shard plate. Relis climbed to his knees. With his feet, he kicked the shit out of him. Relis climbed to his knees, shaking his head.
Maybe it's a good thing Shallan took his old boots, because he got some new ones.
He looked back at Kaladin with what seemed like awe. Beyond the fallen man, Adolin spun and slammed his shard blade two-handed into a man's chest. The breastplate there exploded into molten light. Adolin took a hit on the side of the helm from the man in green to do it. Adolin was in bad shape. Practically every piece of plate the young man wore was leaking stormlight. For now, fortunately, he'd basically incapacitated one of his adversaries. As Elit backed away, his steps were awkward. Adolin had to turn to fight the other shardbearer near him. On the other side of the arena, the fourth man, the one who had been fighting Renarin, was waving his sword at the ground for some reason. He looked up. He's just his pattern. Pattern's just like,
I wonder why.
You can't get me. You can't get me.
Thanks, Pattern.
He looked up and saw how poorly things were going for his allies, then left Renarin and dashed across the arena floor. Wait, Syl said. What is that? She zipped away toward Renarin. Kaladin scrambled to his feet and charged Elit. Elit wobbled toward Adolin. Kaladin reached him first, however, ducking under the man's hasty hammer strike. Kaladin came in swinging from the shoulder, holding his broken spear in two hands, giving the attack all he had. It smashed into Elit's exposed chest, making a satisfying crunch. The man let out an enormous gasp, doubling over. Kaladin raised his spear to swing again, but the man lifted a wobbling hand. "Yield," his weak voice said. "Louder," Kaladin snapped at him. The watching judge spoke. "Brightlord Elit yields the combat," she said. Kaladin backed away from the cowering man. Three shardbearers remained. They had the prince backed up against a wall. Renarin sat on the sand, head bowed, shard blade stuck into the ground before him. No time to worry. Adolin once again had three people to fight. Relis scored a hit on his helm and the thing exploded, exposing the prince's face.
Hey, Renarin, can Kaladin borrow that?
Yeah. Kaladin charged up to Elit. "Remove your helm," Kaladin shouted at him. The man turned to him with a shocked posture. "Your helm," Kaladin screamed, raising his weapon to strike again. Elit removed his helm. Kaladin snatched it from his hand, then left him and ran toward Adolin. As he ran, Kaladin dropped his broken spear and shoved his hand into the helm. The inside tightened around his wrist. When he let go, the helm remained on his hand like a very strange glove. Kaladin yanked out his side knife, charging Relis again. This time, Relis backed away immediately. He watched Kaladin's sword held out. Kaladin advanced, backing him away. Relis went easily, keeping his distance. However, once a sufficient distance away, Kaladin turned and dashed back toward Adolin and the two men he was fighting. Adolin glanced at Kaladin, then nodded. The man in green turned with surprise at Kaladin's advance. He swung, and Kaladin deflected it with the shardplate helm. The man grunted as Adolin threw everything he had at the other shardbearer, the one in orange, slamming his weapon down again and again. For a short time, Adolin only had one foe to fight. Grainplate attacked Kaladin again, who deflected the blow. Relis came charging up on the other side, but didn't join the fight against Adolin. Instead, he thrust at Kaladin. Kaladin gritted his teeth, dodging to the side. The wind began to blow around him. Syl returned to him, zipping through the air as a ribbon of light. Kaladin ducked beneath the blow, then slammed his improvised shield against the blade of the other, throwing it back. Wind. Motion. Kaladin fought two shardbearers at once, knocking their blades aside with the helm. He danced between those blades, cool air wrapping around him. The shardbearers cursed, trying again and again. He leaped one attack, then stepped just to the side of another. You could not kill the wind. You could not stop it. It was beyond the touch of men. It was infinite. His stormlight ran out. Kaladin stumbled to a halt. He tried to suck in more, but all of his spheres were drained.
Aww.
The helm, he realized. It had somehow fed upon his stormlight. Relis attacked, and Kaladin barely scrambled out of the way. Greenplate saw his opening and raised his blade. Someone hopped on him from behind. Kaladin watched, dumbfounded, as Adolin grappled Greenplate, latching onto him. Adolin's armor hardly leaked at all anymore. His stormlight was exhausted. Adolin had beaten his foe, then walked slowly step by step over to where Kaladin fought. It looked like he'd used his final bit of energy to hop on Greenplate's back and grab hold. Greenplate cursed, swatting at Adolin. The two teetered, then toppled over. Kaladin looked at Relis, who glanced from the fallen Greenplate to the man in orange, then to Kaladin. Relis turned and dashed across the sands towards Renarin. Kaladin cursed, scrambling after him and tossing the helm aside. His body felt sluggish without the stormlight to help. "Renarin!" Kaladin yelled. "Yield!" The boy looked up. Storms, he'd been crying. Was he hurt? He didn't look it. "Surrender," Kaladin said, trying to run faster. The lad focused on Relis, who was bearing down on him, but said nothing. Instead, Renarin dismissed his blade. Relis skidded to a stop, raising his blade high over his head toward the defenseless prince. Renarin closed his eyes, looking upward as if exposing his throat. Kaladin wasn't going to arrive in time. He was too slow. Relis hesitated, fortunately, as if unwilling to strike Renarin. Kaladin arrived. Relis spun around and swung at him instead. Kaladin skidded to his knees in the sand, momentum carrying him forward a short distance as the blade fell. He raised his hands and snapped them together, catching the blade. Screaming. Why could he hear screaming? Inside his head? Was that Syl's voice? It reverberated through Kaladin. That horrible, awful screech shook him, made his muscles tremble. He released the shard blade with a gasp, falling backward. Relis dropped the blade as if bitten. He backed away, raising his hands to his head. What is it? What is it? No, I didn't kill you! He shrieked as if in great pain, then ran across the sands and pulled open the door to the preparation room, fleeing inside.
What?
The arena grew still. High Lord Relis Ruthar, the judge finally called, forfeits by cause of leaving the dueling arena. Kaladin climbed, trembling, to his feet. He glanced at Renarin, then slowly crossed the arena. Kaladin was pretty sure they hadn't heard that strange scream. It had only been audible to him and Relis. He stepped up to Adolin and Greenplate. "Stand up and fight me!" Greenplate shouted. Kaladin knelt down. Greenplate struggled more as Kaladin retrieved his side knife from the sand, then pressed the tip of it into the opening in Greenplate's armor. The man grew perfectly still. "You going to yield?" Kaladin growled. "Or do I get to kill my second shardbearer?" Silence. "Storms curse you both," Greenplate finally shouted. "This wasn't a duel. This was a circus. Grappling is the way of a coward." Kaladin pressed the knife in farther. "I yield," the man yelled. "Storm you, I yield." "Bright Lord Yakimov yields," the judge said. "The day goes to Bright Lord Adolin."
Yes!
The dark eyes in their seats cheered. The light eyes seemed stunned. Above, Syl spun with the winds, and Kaladin could feel her joy. Adolin released Greenplate, who rolled off him and stomped away. Underneath, the prince lay in the sand. He was laughing. Kaladin sat down beside the prince as Adolin laughed himself silly, tears streaming from his eyes. "That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done," Adolin said. "Oh, wow. I think I just won 3 full suits of plate and 2 blades, bridge boy. Here, help me get this armor off." "Your armorer can do that," Kaladin said. "No time. Storm's completely drained. Hurry, help with this. There's something yet for me to do." Challenge Sadeus, Kaladin realized. That was the point of all of this. They pulled the gauntlet off, then worked on the other one. A few minutes later, Renarin wandered over and helped. Kaladin didn't ask him about what had happened. Adolin finally got free of the plate and stood up. Ahead, the king had stepped up beside the judge. He looked down at Adolin, who nodded. "This is Adolin's chance," Kaladin realized. "But it can be my chance, too." The king raised his hands, quieting the crowd.
No.
"Warrior, duel master," the king shouted.
"Kaladin, don't do this.
I am greatly pleased by what you have accomplished today. This was a fight the likes of which hasn't been seen in Alethkar for generations. You have pleased your king greatly." Cheering. "I could do this," Kaladin thought. "I offer you
Kaladin
a boon," the king proclaimed, pointing to Adolin as the cheering quieted. "Name what you wish of me or of this court. It shall be yours. No man having seen this display could deny you." The right of challenge, Kaladin thought. Adolin sought out Sadeus, who had stood and was making his way up the steps to flee. He understood. Far to the right, Amaram sat in his golden cloak. "For my boon," Adolin shouted, "I demand the right of challenge. I demand the chance to duel High Prince Sadeus right here and now, as redress for the crimes he committed against my house." Sadeus stopped upon the steps. Adolin looked as if he was going to say something more, but hesitated as Kaladin stepped up beside him. "And for my boon," Kaladin shouted, "I demand the right of challenge against the murderer Amaram. He stole from me and slaughtered my friends to cover it up. Amaram branded me a slave. I will duel him here, right now. That is the boon I demand." The king's jaw dropped. The crowd grew very, very still. Beside him, Adolin groaned. Kaladin didn't spare either one a thought. Across the distance, he met the eyes of Bright Lord Amaram. He saw horror therein. Amaram stood up, then stumbled back. He hadn't known, hadn't recognized Kaladin until just now. "You should have killed me," Kaladin thought. The crowd started to shout and yell. "Arrest him!" the king bellowed over the din. "Perfect," Kaladin grinned. Until he noticed the soldiers were coming for him and not Amaram.
Why? Oh, was he not gonna get the challenge? Was he not going to be given the boon? And so he just declared basically treason.
Chapter 58, Never Again. It has Kaladin's symbol. The epigraph reads, "So Melishi retired to his tent and resolved to destroy the Voidbringers upon the next day, but that night did present a different stratagem related to the unique abilities of the Bondsmiths, and being hurried, he could make no specific account of his process. It was related to the very nature of the heralds and their divine duties, an attribute the Bondsmiths alone could address." From Words of Radiance, Chapter 30, page 18. "Captain Kaladin is a man of honor, Elokar," Dalinar shouted, gesturing toward Kaladin. "He was the only one who went to help my sons." "That's his job," Elokar snapped back. Kaladin listened, chained to a seat inside Dalinar's rooms. The three of them were alone. "He insulted a High Lord in front of the entire court," Elokar said. "He dared challenge a man so high above his station, the gap between them could hold a kingdom. He was caught up in the moment. Be reasonable, Elokar. He just helped bring down four Shardbearers on a dueling ground where his help was invited. I still don't agree with letting a Dark Eyes duel Shardbearers. If you hadn't held me back..." "I won't stand for this, Uncle. I won't. Common soldiers challenging our highest and most important generals? It's madness." "What I said was true," Kaladin whispered. "Don't you speak," Elokar shouted. "You've ruined everything. We lost our chance at Sadeas." "Adolin made his challenge," Kaladin said. "Surely Sadeas can't ignore it." "Of course he can't. He's already responded." Kaladin frowned. "Adolin didn't get a chance to pin down the duel," Dalinar said. "As soon as he was free of the arena, Sadeas sent word agreeing to duel Adolin in 1 year's time." "He wiggled out of the noose," Elokar said. "We needed that moment in the arena to pin him down, to shame him into a fight. You stole that moment, Bridgeman." Kaladin lowered his head. He'd have stood up to confront them except for the chains. They were cold around his ankles, locking him to the chair. He remembered chains like those. "This is what you get, Uncle, for putting a slave in charge of our guard. Storms, what were you thinking? What was I thinking in allowing you?" "You saw him fight, Elokar. He is good. It's not his skill, but his discipline that is the problem." The king folded his arms. "Execution." Kaladin looked up sharply. "Don't be ridiculous," Dalinar said, stepping up beside Kaladin's chair. "It is the punishment for slandering a High Lord. It is the law. You can pardon any crime as king. Don't tell me you honestly want to see this man hanged after what he did today. Would you stop me? I wouldn't stand for it, that's for certain." Elokar crossed the room, stepping right up to Dalinar. "Am I king?" "Of course you are." "You don't act like it. You're going to have to decide something, Uncle. I won't continue letting you rule, making a puppet of me." "I'm not. I say the boy is to be executed. What do you say of that?" "I'd say that in attempting such a thing, you'd make an enemy of me, Elokar." Dalinar had grown tense. "Just try to execute me," Kaladin thought. "Just try." The two stared at each other for a long moment. Finally, Elokar turned away. "Prison. How long?" "Until I say he's done," the king said, waving a hand and stalking toward the exit. He stopped there, looking at Dalinar, a challenge in his eyes. "Very well." The king left. "Hypocrite," Kaladin hissed. "He's the one who insisted you put me in charge of his guard. Now he blames you." Dalinar sighed, kneeling down beside Kaladin. "What you did today was a wonder. In protecting my sons, you justified my faith in you before the entire court. Unfortunately, you then threw it away. He asked me for a boon. I got one, it seems. He asked Adolin for a boon. You knew what we were about, soldier. You heard the plan in conference with us this morning. You overshadowed it in the name of your own petty vengeance. Amaram, I don't know where you got this idea about Amaram, but you have to stop. I checked into what you said after you brought it to my attention the first time. 17 witnesses told me that Amaram won his shard blade only 4 months ago, long after your ledger says you were made a slave." "Lies. 17 men, light-eyed and dark, along with the word of a man I've known for decades. You're wrong about him, soldier. You're just plain wrong. If he is so honorable, then why didn't he fight to save your sons?" Dalinar hesitated. "It doesn't matter. You're going to let the king put me in prison." "Yes. Elokar has a temper. Once he cools down, I'll get you free. For now, it might be best if you had some time to think." "He'll have a tough time forcing me to go to prison," Kaladin said. "Have you even been listening?" Dalinar suddenly roared. Kaladin sat back, eyes widening, as Dalinar leaned down, taking Kaladin by the shoulders as if to shake him. "Have you not felt what is coming? Have you not seen how this kingdom squabbles? We don't have time for this. We don't have time for games. Stop being a child and start being a soldier. You'll go to prison, and you'll go happily. That's an order. Do you listen to orders anymore?" Kaladin found himself stammering. Dalinar stood up, rubbing his hands on his temples. "I thought we had Sadeas cornered there. I thought maybe we'd be able to cut his feet out from under him and save this kingdom. Now I don't know what to do." He turned and walked to the door. "Thank you for saving my sons." he left Kaladin alone in the cold stone room. And we cut to Sadeus's point of view. Sadeus returns to his own quarters and contemplates his narrow escape. His wife Eli appears, and Sadeus orders her to find incriminating information about Dalinar and then have him assassinated. And we cut back to Kaladin. Soldiers arrive for Kaladin a short time later, men that Kaladin didn't know. They were respectful as they unchained him from the chair, though they left the chains binding his hands and feet. One gave him a lifted fist, a sign of respect. "Stay strong," the fist said. Kaladin bowed his head and shuffled with them, led through camp before the watching eyes of soldiers and scribes alike. He caught a glimpse of Bridge Four uniforms in the crowd. He reached Dalinar's camp prison. It was a small, nearly windowless building with thick walls. Inside, in an isolated section, Kaladin was placed in a cell. They left the chains on as they locked him in. He sat down on a stone bench, waiting until Syl finally drifted into the room. This is what comes of trusting Light Eyes. Never again, Syl. Kaladin. He closed his eyes, turning and lying down on the cold stone bench. He was in a cage once again. The end of part three. I told you we're only halfway through. It can't go too well.
Yeah. Let me guess. Either someone comes and frees him, or someone comes by and he manages to get Stormlight and then he frees himself.
So I will say that this was another thing that I struggled. This is another thing that slowed me down when I was reading this book for the first time, is I got to this plot line and I was like, oh, great. We're rehashing book one's plot line again. Awesome. Love that. And then immediately, once I actually decided to sit down and read the book, Sanderson was like, I'm not a fucking idiot. We're not going to do that. Don't worry. it's going to work. What happens works. I really didn't think it was going to work. I remember telling Chad, who I read this book with, immediately after this part, I was like, I love the duel. I love everything leading up to the imprisonment. But I was like, and now we're just going to have to stumble through hundreds of pages of Kaladin being how he was back in book one. And I'll tell you now, that's not going to happen. It's not going to be like that. The story continues and it does not, he regresses a little bit, as anybody with in his situation would, but not completely.
Mm.
But next week will be interludes.
Fun.
Next week's interludes, the viewpoints are Lift, Zeth, and Eshonai. But yes, and then the week after that, just to tease a little bit further, we get our Witch story.
Yay.
But yes, I hope you enjoyed what I would say is, I'd say that's probably one of the best endings of a part.
I liked the end of, was it the end of part two that Zeth was there?
That was it, yeah.
I liked part two just a tiny bit more, because there was a lead up, more of a lead up to it, I feel like.
This one just kind of is like the chapter, a couple chapters before they're like, we're going to do a duel, and then it happens.
Like, the chapter where it happens is pretty freaking cool, but like...
Yeah.
It feels bad. It feels bad that, like, it makes sense. Like, obviously, when you're a writer, you have to 2 steps forward, 1 step back, or 5 steps back for your character. Mm-hmm. But, like, it still feels bad. Like, come on, Kaladin. Come on. You know Light Eyes don't play fair.
No. I'm very excited to get into part four. Part four is very good, and then part five is incredible. The ending of this book is one of the best. There was a little interesting thing in there, though. A little funny thing happened when Kaladin caught the... First of all, Kaladin did the last clap, which was, badass. But you
the
don't really
what?
Get to... The last clap, which is, the thing that Dalinar did, where he caught the shard blade in his hands.
That was cool.
That was cool, but then immediately, you don't really get to sit on that for a moment, because there's a weird thing happened after that.
There was screaming coming presumably from the sword, which only Kaladin and the other dude could hear because they were both obviously touching the sword. And obviously it was triggered by the fact that Kaladin touched the sword, and obviously the screaming was actually saying something to the Shardbearer.
Hmm.
Saying something about, you killed me. And obviously that dude was like, I didn't kill you. So, my theory is that for some reason Kaladin is able to, maybe not him converse with... Wait, don't they have to,
what's it called, attune with their swords or something?
They do have to bond the shard blades.
Do they have to use a spren for that?
It is a fabrial.
Fabrial, which is connected to a spren.
Yeah, fabrials, they trap spren and gemstones to do fabrials.
So my question is it that spren, or is it the spren of the radiance that the sword originally belonged to?
The answer of what happened with that scream will be in this book.
Cool.
You won't have to sit on that forever. Wondering what the fuck is going on.
That's fine.
We're not going to answer it super soon, but we will answer it by the end of this book.
Okay.
My boy Renarin is so sad. No. Constantly.
Okay, but not... He shouldn't have given up to the point where he was about to die.
Callan said that Renarin had been crying, but that he didn't look like he'd actually been hurt at all.
Yeah, but he also had apparently one of his... what's it called?
One of his, yeah, well, Dalinar says he thinks that Renarin is having one of his fits because, like, his hand goes up to his head. And he's, like, shaking.
Well, the way you described it was that, like, his arm, like, went weird or something. Or at least that's the way it sounded, yeah, like, when you described it.
Yeah, he said, Renarin's shoulder began to twitch, pulling up toward his head violently, one of his fits.
Yeah, so it was his shoulder, yeah. Not his hand.
So he's like, yeah.
So, yeah.
Looks like he was having some sort of a epileptic episode.
Yeah, that's sad.
He's such a brave boy, though. He went out and fought. For me, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. Everything that I do is in my bio. As for this show, like I said at the top, you guys can follow us on Twitter at SpeakStormlight. We have a Discord server. The link to join that is in the episode description. It's also the pinned tweet on our Twitter account. You guys can email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. And our cover art was made by our good friend Alex. That's at alx_beegboi. He did some awesome cover art. And I actually just commissioned the next season's cover art. Thank you guys again so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next time for the interludes. Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.